all we have right now. But I can have more delivered from Epton Palace. It might take a few days. Thank you. Silas put the top back on. We'll gladly take whatever you can send to Lady Gwenor. Please tell her we miss her, Brigitte said. But we know she's doing something important. Luciana nodded. The plague affects our countries too, so we're happy to assist her in any way we can. Silas bowed his head. I appreciate that, Your Majesties. Guess what? Eviana sidled up to her mother. Sautja's a princess! Luciana's eyes widened as she looked at Sautja. Really? Sautja shrugged and waved a hand at Silas. That's what he says. Then you're a prince? Brigitte asked Silas. He sighed. I prefer being a general. Leo crossed his arms, studying Silas. You're the heir to the throne? For now, my brother Petrus could still have children. Silas didn't want to admit how unlikely that was. Leo motioned toward his tent. Let's have a talk. Silas followed him along with Luciana and Brigitte. Is Gwenor all right? Luciana asked. The memory of her moaning and melting in his arms flashed through Silas's mind. She's a bit nervous about whether she can succeed. Luciana sighed. That sounds like Gwenny. She doesn't always realize her own worth. But she's the most clever woman I know, Brigitte declared. If anyone can cure the plague, it's her. Silas nodded. I believe she can do it too. A guard lifted the flap to the large tent, and Leo motioned for them to enter. Did Brody tell you about the envoy from Woodwin? Yes. Silas entered the tent with the two queens. I've discovered the identity of Lady Gwenor's father. Really? Brigitte asked. Who is he? He was a Norveshki nobleman, Silas replied. I would tell you more, but I think Lady Gwenor should hear it first. You said was. Luciana moved to the table and filled four cups with wine. Has he passed away? Yes. Silas set the clay crock on the table. Leo sat on one side of the table and motioned for Silas to sit across from him. Brigitte distributed the cups of wine, then took the chair next to him. Luciana sat close to her husband and smiled at him when he squeezed her hand. Happily married, Silas thought, with a pang in his heart. He missed Gwen. Brody said the chameleon had shown up in your country, Leo said. He murdered a spy in your dungeon. Yes, Silas nodded. That's why I wanted to speak to you. You think the chameleon plans to steal the Norveshki throne? Luciana asked. Brigitte shuddered. When I think how close I came to marrying that monster. Did you ever see his real face? Silas asked. Brigitte shook her head. As far as I know, he can masquerade as any person or animal. And he's vicious. He killed several people in Turin and Eberron. The spy he murdered was a royal secretary named Lord Romac, Silas explained. One of my men spotted Romac receiving gold from an Eberroni priest. So at first, I suspected Romac was being paid by Lord Morris. Leo nodded. That would make sense. Morris has a network of priests all over the mainland spying for him. Silas took a sip of wine. But when the chameleon murdered Romac, I thought Romac and the priest had to be working for him. I had the priest follow to see where he would go. We stopped him as he was crossing the border into Woodwin. Woodwin? Luciana exchanged a surprised look with her husband. I questioned the priest last night, Silas continued. He confirmed my theory about Gwenor's father, and he said we would never defeat the chameleon. Leo sat back. It sounds like he is working for the chameleon, but why was he going to Woodwin? Brigitte gasped. Could the chameleon be an elf? That possibility has occurred to me, Silas admitted. He has many secrets. With a grimace, Brigitte shuddered. I could tell whenever he touched me. Did the priest say anything else? Leo asked. Not much. Silas winced. I was trying to frighten him into talking by telling him that the chameleon would murder him because he'd been captured. The priest tried to poison himself, and when I stopped him, he grabbed my dagger and slit his own throat. Luciana and Brigitte sat back with shocked expressions. Leo frowned. That makes him sound like one of Morris's priests. I've dealt with a few of them myself. They're fanatics. Once they're caught, they always try to kill themselves. Before he died, the priest said something strange, Silas admitted. He said the Circle of Five would conquer the world. Leo's eyes narrowed. Circle of Five? Yes. Silas eyed him carefully. I was wondering if you knew anything. Leo shook his head. I've never heard of it. Neither have I, Brigitte said. Does this mean there are five people who want to rule the world? Luciana asked. The priest was carrying this on him. Silas removed the rolled-up note from his pocket. It's in Elfish. I'll ask Lady Gwenor to translate it when... I can do it. Luciana extended her hand across the table, and Silas placed the note in her palm. She unrolled the note and read it. It says, Princess Gwenor is at Draven Castle. Shall we capture her and deliver her to you? Damn! Silas breathed. Gwen was in danger. The priest referred to her as a pawn. We have to protect her, Luciana declared. Can you send her back here? Leo shook his head. Transporting her a long distance would make it easier for her to be captured. I'll protect her, Silas insisted. You have my word. I won't let any harm come to her. Luciana and Brigitte exchanged a look. Are you taking responsibility for her? Luciana asked. I would like to, yes. Silas shifted in his chair. If Gwen will accept me. Gwen? Brigitte asked. Her gaze drifted over his uniform. Green and brown. Luciana's eyes narrowed. Exactly. Exactly what? Silas was confused. He motioned to the note in Luciana's hand. Is there more? Does it say who wants to capture Gwen? She read some more. It says, plan for taking throne in jeopardy due to return of heir. Will assassinate him soon. It signed with an R. For Romac, I assume. She looked up at Silas. Did he try to kill you? Silas shrugged. Obviously things didn't go the way he planned. Is there anything else? She turned the paper over, inspecting both sides. There's a sun drawn at the bottom here. Hardly surprising, since the priests are avid worshippers of the light. Silas took the note to study the drawing. It did appear to be a sun, with five rays radiating from a circle. Damn! It's more than a sun. He pointed at it. Five rays. Circle of five. Five people, Leo murmured. Luciana sighed. I suppose one is the chameleon. And the second one could be Lord Morris, Leo said. The third one could be an elf from Woodwin, Silas suggested, the one who wants to capture Gwenor and use her as a pawn. That still leaves two. Brigitte sat back, shaking her head. Somehow I always thought the chameleon was a loner. Leo flexed his gloved hands. He's doing the dirty work for the group, because he can move among us undetected. Silas swallowed hard. These villains, whoever they may be, would be easier to defeat if they were loners. But they formed a league. A secret league. Leo nodded slowly. They've joined forces. That will make them harder to defeat. Silas looked around the table. We need to join forces too. Brigitte nodded. You can count on Rupert and me. Good. Silas reached a hand toward Leo. Are you with me? Leo hesitated. There's a chance, even with my glove, that I might hurt you. I know. Silas kept his hand extended. I'll trust you. Leo shook his hand, and when nothing happened, he smiled. We'll be stronger together. Chapter 27. You expect me to believe something a tree said? Petrus gave Silas an incredulous look. They call themselves the Kings of the Forest, Silas explained. They've been here for centuries. And Woodwin has been our enemy for centuries, Petrus argued. Why are you believing everything that elfin woman tells you? Silas sighed. After returning to Draven Castle, he'd gone straight to the royal office to tell his brother about the tainted crowns and jewelry. All right, then. Forget about the Redwoods and look at this logically. Every queen of Noveshka who survived childbirth eventually went mad. The kings didn't fare much better. What one thing have all the kings and queens had in common? The curse. The crowns! Silas gritted his teeth. Just have some new crowns made. What do you have to lose? 500 years of tradition. Petrus scowled at him. We should send that elfin woman back to Eberron. Freya is feeling better now. She was able to walk to the Great Hall for dinner. She's better because Margosha has been giving her a tonic that Lady Gwenor made for her, and right now Gwen is trying to find a cure for the plague so our people can start having children again. She's working tirelessly on our behalf. She deserves our respect. Petrus wandered over to the fireplace and gazed at the smoldering coals. Fafnir told me not to trust her. Silas groaned inwardly. Fafnir is the one who gave you the tainted rings. The elf is lying. Petrus clenched his fists. Fafnir would never hurt us. He is one of the ancient ones who treated our people like slaves and gave our first king poisonous crowns. No! Petrus tossed a log onto the coals, then breathed a gust of fire to set the log ablaze. He spun around to face Silas. Fafnir was never like the others. When King Magnus begged the Ancient Ones to save the brothers who were dying, the dragons refused. It was Fafnir who came forward to save them. He gave them his own blood, a piece of his own heart. I know the story, Silas interrupted, but when the three surviving brothers attacked the Ancient Ones, Fafnir didn't take their side. He fought on the side of the Ancient Ones and set the curse on us. Why would you trust him now? Petrus lifted his chin. He said he feels responsible for us. He's the one who made us the way we are. And he's the one who cursed us. That means he's the only one who can undo it. Petrus's eyes gleamed in the firelight. He says he can help us take over the world. We are the only dragons left. It is our rightful place to rule over those who are less than us. Silas's heart sank. We're not like the Ancient Ones, Petrus. We're human. Don't forget that. Fafnir can help us conquer the rest of the mainland, and he asks for very little in return. Silas narrowed his eyes. What exactly does he want? Once we take over Turin and oust the king, he wants the queen delivered to him. Brigitte? Why would an Ancient One want a human female? Once again, Silas suspected that the dragon who claimed to be Fafnir wasn't actually an Ancient One. If he was a dragon shifter, it would make more sense for him to want a woman. But why Brigitte? How would Fafnir even know her? A memory came back to his mind from the meeting that morning. Brigitte had shuddered. When I think how close I came to marrying that monster. Holy light. Could Fafnir be the chameleon? It was close to midnight by the time Silas finished updating Dimitri and Carlin. The news seemed even more ominous as candlelight cast flickering shadows across Carlin's office. Circle of Five, Carlin murmured as he leaned back in his chair and gazed at the ceiling. Dimitri paced about the room. So the five could be the chameleon, Lord Morris, the elf who wants Lady Gwenor, and two unknowns. Silas took a seat. That's what I'm thinking. Carlin frowned at the ceiling. If they get their way and take over the world, they'll eventually turn on each other. I can't see five people ruling together peacefully. Silas nodded. Especially if they're a bunch of assholes. Dimitri snorted. That's a given. They're probably using each other for now, Silas said, just like Fafnir is trying to use my brother. Dimitri continued to pace. This so-called Fafnir wants to use our army and dragons to take over Eberron, Turin, and Woodwin. Yes, Silas agreed. If Fafnir is the chameleon, like I suspect, he'll wait till Petrus has control of those three countries. Then he'll kill him and take his place. Dimitri sat in the chair beside him. We should go to the Sacred Well and find this Fafnir. I tried that the other day. He goes into hiding if anyone other than Petrus comes. The room grew silent as the three men considered the options before them. Finally, Silas rose to his feet. So, what happened here today? Dimitri waved a dismissive hand. Not much. I took Lady Gwenor and Annika to my family's estate so they could raid the garden of some special leaf they wanted. They took it all to the workroom. I haven't seen them since. Carlin? Could you send someone to bring Lady Gwenor here? Silas asked. I need to talk to her. She may not be awake, Carlin grumbled as he strode out the door. Dimitri yawned as he rose to his feet. I'm off to bed. No, stay. Silas motioned for him to sit back down. Dimitri remained standing. Why? Silas perched on the edge of Carlin's desk. You'll find out soon enough. Dimitri huffed, then sat back down. Silas fiddled with the clay crock he'd brought back from his meeting with Leo and Luciana. He'd worried that he might spill the contents if he tried holding it while flying. So he'd stayed in human form the rest of the day, taking a barge up the Norva River, then riding his horse the rest of the way to Draven Castle. He'd left the crock on Carlin's desk while he'd gone to talk to his brother. "What is that?" Dimitri asked. "A spice made from a hot pepper," Silas explained. "The Eberoni royal physician thinks it could be helpful in curing the plague." "You think we can really be rid of the curse?" Silas snorted. "There never was a curse. Just poisoned crowns and some sick rats that like to bite." Dimitri was silent for a while. Silas nudged him with a foot. "How long are you going to keep my cousin waiting?" Dimitri shifted in his chair. "Even without a curse, she could die in childbirth." "We could die every time we go into battle. You can't stop living because of fear." Dimitri arched a brow. "Calling me a coward?" Silas scoffed. "I wouldn't do that to my best friend." "Good. Then I won't question why you were alone in the cabin with a certain lady, and when she came out, her shirt was buttoned wrong." Silas winced. "Since when are you so observant?" Dimitri gave him a wry look. "If you want her to be treated with respect, you should try it yourself." "I do respect her." A knock sounded, then the door cracked open and Gwen peered inside. "You wanted to see me?" "Yes." Silas rushed over to her. "Come in." She hesitated in the hallway. "It's late. I was about to go to bed." He leaned close to whisper. "Is that an invitation?" She shoved him back, causing the door to swing open wide. She stiffened with surprise when she saw Dimitri. "Oh." Her cheeks turned pink. "Good evening. I didn't realize you were here." Dimitri sighed. "I have no idea why I'm here." "Come, sit down." Silas motioned to the chair next to Dimitri and Gwen took a seat. "All right." Silas paced across the room. What was the best way to break this news? "When we arrested Lord Romac, he tried to bargain for his life by claiming he knew the identity of Lady Gwenor's parents." She sat back. "How would he know that?" "I'm not sure, but he was murdered before I could find out." Silas circled around the desk. "Then Brody told me about an envoy from Woodwin who visited King Leo. The envoy was insisting on taking you back to Woodwin. After spying on him, Brody learned that you're actually a princess."
"What?"
Gwen rose to her feet. Her surprised expression quickly turned to anger. "Why didn't Brody tell me? How dare he discuss this with you and not me?" Silas winced. This wasn't going well. "He was concerned for your safety." With a huff, she planted her hands on her hips. "I can take care of myself, Gwen. Hear me out." With a groan of frustration, she sat back down. "Continue." "The envoy spoke of you with disdain, so Brody feared that the elves would never treat you well." "As if I'm being treated well here," she muttered. Silas winced. "There are people here who care about you, and if I hear anyone say anything bad about you, I'm going to clobber him. Dimitri will too." Dimitri looked taken aback for a second, then mumbled, "Right. Now, back to the envoy." Silas perched on the edge of the desk. He called you a half-breed. Gwen stiffened with surprise. What? Silas nodded. It's true. You're only half-elf. She gave him an incredulous look.
How?
Dimitri studied her a moment. I always thought her ears were smaller than the usual elf. She shrugged with an exasperated expression. I wouldn't know, I've never met another elf. Most people outside of Woodwin have never met an elf, Silas said. They're the most reclusive people on Earthlan. If I'm only half elf, then what is the other half? Gwen asked. I had a theory about it, but I didn't want to tell you until I was sure, Silas admitted. Last night I asked the priest we captured, and he confirmed it. Gwen made the sign of the moons with her hands in her lap. Who are my parents, then? All I know about your mother is that she's an elfin princess. Your father was Norveshki. Gwen's mouth fell open, and Dimitri sat up. Your father died in Woodwin, Silas continued. I don't know why or how, but he was Norveshki. That's why you feel at home here. It's in your blood. And that's why you can hear the dragons. You inherited it from your father. Dimitri looked at her, then Silas. Her father was... Your uncle, Silas nodded. Lord Tolenko. Dimitri dragged in a deep breath, then looked at Gwen again. She belongs to one of the three cursed clans. My clan. I'm Norveshki, Gwen asked. Yes, Silas told her. You're the daughter of a dragon shifter. Dimitri stiffened. Damn it. Why are you... He glanced at Gwenor and his eyes narrowed. You already know about us. She nodded. I figured it out. But I won't tell anyone. You can trust me. I trust her, Silas said, giving her a smile. And as a member of one of the three cursed clans, she has the right to know. Dimitri winced. But she's also part elf, and the elves want her back. The priest said she was nothing but a pawn to them. Silas removed the rolled-up note from his pocket and handed it to Gwen. This was the message the priest was taking to someone in Woodwin. When I visited Leo and Luciana this morning, she translated it for me. You saw them? Gwen unrolled the note and read it, her face growing pale. As you can see, you are in danger. Silas took the note back and slipped it into his pocket. She gave him a worried look. You're in danger too. He leaned over to take her hand. I can keep you safe here. Leo and Luciana agreed that it's safer for you to stay here. If you travel, you'll become an easier target. She remained silent. I don't want you to go to Woodwin when they consider you a political pawn, Silas continued. You belong in Norveshka just as much as you do in Woodwin.
You're my cousin, Dimitri whispered.
Right. You have family here. And friends. Silas squeezed her hand. You have me. Dimitri suddenly rose to his feet and headed for the door. Silas, we need to talk. He opened the door and strode into the hallway. What the hell? Silas released Gwen's hand. I'll be right back. He stepped outside, shutting the door behind him. What's the... He stiffened with surprise when Dimitri grabbed his shirt collar. What are your intentions toward my cousin? Dimitri demanded. What? Since my father's death last year,
I am the head of the Telenko clan. Dmitri slammed him against the wall. So I ask you again, what are your intentions? Silas scoffed. What happened to being best friends? Dmitri twisted the collar in his fist. All right, Papa Bear. Silas lifted his hands in surrender. Relax. I've already told Gwen that I want to marry. Dmitri's eyes widened.
You did?
Yes. Unlike you, I'm not afraid of the damned curse. The door cracked open and Gwen peeked outside. What's going on? I heard something hit the wall. It sounded like a cannonball. Silas winced. He wasn't that hard-headed. Dmitri released Silas's collar and smoothed out his shirt. Just a friendly discussion. Silas snorted. Right, between best friends. Dmitri gave him a wry look. I'll marry your cousin when you marry mine.
Deal.
Gwen frowned at them. Surely you're not discussing Annika or myself without our knowledge. We will be deciding our own futures, thank you. She turned her back on them and strode down the hallway. I'm not done talking, Silas called after her. As the leader of our clan, I'm responsible for you, Dmitri yelled. She ignored them both and passed through the doorway into the courtyard. Damn, Dmitri muttered. Silas sighed. This business of marriage might be more difficult than we thought. Chapter 28. Gwenor slept late the next morning after tossing and turning most of the night. She was a princess, half Noveshki. Dmitri was her cousin. She'd met his mother at the manor house and had really liked her. Now she realized the woman was her aunt. No wonder Gwenor had felt a connection to the land here, and a connection to the dragons. She had family here. She was a member of the Telenko clan, and the daughter of a shape-shifting dragon. But what about the elfin part of her? Why had she been sent away as a babe? Had they considered her unworthy since she was a half-breed? If she was a princess, then her mother must have been from the royal family and fallen in love with Lord Telenko. Had it been a secret affair, or had the two lovers married? How had her father died? Had he been murdered for fathering a child with an elfin princess? And why did someone in Woodwin want her captured and taken back to use as a pawn? Silas wanted her to stay here. Even Leo and Luciana thought she was safer here. But what did she want? Her thoughts kept returning to the passionate moment in the cabin. Could she trust her heart to Silas? Her immediate reply was yes. Did she love the countryside and her new friends? Yes. Could the Noveshki people accept her as Silas's wife and future queen? No. Her heart clenched with regret, and then a spurt of anger. If she cured the plague, she might be accepted. But why did she always feel a need to prove herself? While eating breakfast with Margosha and Annika in the workroom, she told them what she'd learned about her parents. They were delighted she was half Noveshki, and insisted she remain here with her new family and friends. The Verna leaves they had picked the day before had dried enough that they set to work, tearing them into tiny pieces. As the pile grew on the table, they chatted about what was happening around the castle. Dmitri asked me to have dinner with him tonight in the Great Hall, Annika announced, her cheeks flushed with excitement. Oh, that's wonderful, Margosha smiled. Do you have a pretty gown you can wear? I could loan you one. While the two women discussed what Annika should wear for her date with Dimitri, Gwenor's mind wandered back to the conversation she'd overheard between Dimitri and Silas. Were the two men in some sort of race now to prove their honorable intentions? "When I attended the Queen this morning, she was feeling much better," Margosha said. "She insisted on getting dressed so she could take a walk in the garden." "That's excellent news," Annika grinned. "I think the Verna tea is working."
"It looks that way."
Gwenor glanced at her greenish fingertips. They were becoming stained from 2 days of handling Verna leaves. Margosha sighed. "But because it's Opal Day, Her Majesty wanted her opal ring back."
"Oh dear,"
Annika winced. "Did you tell her it was poison?" Margosha shook her head. "I didn't want to frighten or agitate her, so I told her we were still cleaning her jewelry."
"That was wise," Gwenor told her. "I don't think the Queen is healthy enough to handle any stress right now."
"Olenka told me that everyone is saying you're a witch," Annika muttered, "and you're brewing secret tonics up here in your lair." Margosha snorted. "One of the ladies-in-waiting asked me if you could make her a love potion."
Gwenor sighed.
Could the Noveshki people accept her? As a witch, perhaps, but not as a queen. A knock sounded at the door, then Silas peered inside. The rascal. Making deals with Dimitri as if marriage was their decision alone. Gwenor ignored him and scooped some shredded Verna leaves into a large stone mortar.
"Silas?"
Margosha waved him over.
"Come in."
He strolled toward them. "I thought I would check to see how you're doing." Just the sound of his voice made Gwenor's skin tingle.
"We're working,"
Annika told him, then nudged Gwenor with her elbow. She glanced up and discovered that Silas was watching her closely. With a quick movement, she grabbed the pestle and slammed it into the mortar. The sound startled Annika, and she leaned close to whisper,
"Careful, you could break it."
Margosha cleared her throat, then smiled at Silas. "As you can see, we're preparing the Verna leaves. What is it that you're carrying?" He set a small clay crock on the table. "I had planned to give this to Lady Gwenor last night, but she left before I was finished with our conversation." The pestle made a grinding noise as Gwenor pressed it down and twisted it. Annika lifted the lid on the crock and peered inside.
"Holy light, this stuff is strong!"
Her eyes watered as she closed the lid. "It's a spice made from a hot pepper that grows in southern Eberron," Silas explained. "It's what the Eberroni royal physician recommended. This was all that Luciana had on hand at their camp, but she said she would have more delivered from Epton Palace. I'll go back to Verushka tomorrow to pick it up."
"Thank you."
Margosha slid the crock across the table to Gwenor.
"What do you think?"
She opened the lid and took a sniff.
"Holy goddesses.
It certainly seems powerful enough to wipe out a disease." Annika nodded.
"I'm thinking a little bit would go a long way."
Gwenor glanced at the ground-up Verna leaves in her mortar. "We could make a tonic of Verna leaves and this spice, but it might be too hot for people to swallow."
"We could dilute it," Annika suggested, "or mix it with honey to sweeten the taste. I've always found honey to be beneficial."
Gwenor tilted her head as she considered.
"Honey."
She turned to Silas. "Wasn't the drink the trolls made based on honey?"
"You're talking to me again?"
She gave him a wry look. His eyebrows lifted, but he held his gaze steady on her.
"Yes, their mead is made with honey."
"You're thinking about using it?" Margosha asked Gwenor. She nodded.
If we dilute it with water, I think it would make an excellent base for a medicinal tonic. It would have enough sweetness to offset the heat of the pepper spice.
Annika grinned.
And if it makes people drunk, it would be very popular. Could you buy some mead from the trolls?
Gwenor asked Silas.
They won't accept gold or jewels in payment, but I could barter with some chickens and maybe a goat.
Her heart raced at the way he was watching her so intently. She cleared her throat.
I'm sure they'll cooperate once they know we'll be using it to cure the plague.
He nodded.
I'll bring you a barrel by tonight.
She gave him a hesitant smile.
Thank you. Then we can have dinner together.
Her heart squeezed. Memories of their passionate moment in the cabin flashed through her mind. Rule number 5 had been beware of kissing a dragon. He won't burn you, but he might make you melt. Holy goddesses, she felt like she was melting now just from the sound of his voice and the hungry way he was looking at her. But she was afraid to give in, afraid she would jeopardize his future, afraid she would never be accepted. And still peeved that he and Dimitri thought they could decide a woman's future without consulting her. She motioned to the pile of shredded verna leaves on the table. I have to grind all this up, and it's only the first batch. She pointed at the stacks of leaves piled up on other tables. As you can see, I'm going to be busy all day.
We need to talk, he said quietly. I'm listening.
She went back to work, adding more shredded leaves to the mortar.
In private, he added.
Annika nudged Gwenor with her elbow. She heaved a sigh and shot Silas an annoyed look.
What is it?
You want to hear it now? He asked dryly, and she nodded.
Fine. Last night I tried to sneak into your bedchamber so we could have hours of wild and passionate lovemaking, hot enough to burn the sheets off your bed. But I couldn't, because Dimitri had bunked down in front of my dressing room door with a sword. The idiot thinks he has to protect your honor.
Annika covered her mouth as she choked on a laugh. Margosha sat back with a scandalized look. Gwenor's face grew hot. The rascal. She didn't know whether to be mortified or excited.
Excited. Please convey my gratitude to my cousin.
A flash of gold shot through Silas's eyes.
I understand.
He turned and left the room. Her heart clenched as she fought an urge to run after him and fling her arms around him.
What's going on with you two?
Annika asked. Gwenor blinked back tears. There was no point in denying it. She was hopelessly in love. Silas was everything she ever wanted. He believed in her, trusted her, loved her. He was the right man for her. But she couldn't get over this niggling fear that she wasn't the right woman for him. That evening, some soldiers arrived at the workroom with a barrel of mead. Gwenor told herself she wasn't disappointed when Silas didn't deliver it himself. But then Annika excused herself so she could have dinner with Dimitri, and Margosha left so she could attend the Queen in the Great Hall and taste all of Her Majesty's food. Gwenor was left alone in the workroom, with her hands sore from grinding leaves all day. Fool, she chided herself. She could be having dinner with Silas. She rushed back to her bedchamber, and Nisa helped her into a lavender gown that matched her eyes. Her heart pounding, she dashed off to the great hall. When she entered, she noticed that dinner had already begun. Courtiers were eating and drinking at the different tables, busily chatting and laughing. On the far side of the room, on the dais, the royal family was having dinner. King Petrus sat on a jewel-encrusted chair in the middle, with his queen to his left and his younger brother to his right. Silas looked glumly at the plate of food in front of him. Would he be happy to see her? Gwenor started to cross the room. As courtiers noticed her, they stopped talking, stopped eating. She swallowed hard. Where on Earthland could she sit? The table where she'd sat before was close to the dais, but Dimitri was there with Annika. She didn't want to interfere with their date. She slowed at a stop, suddenly afraid she'd made an enormous mistake. A hush fell over the room as all the courtiers stared at her. Silas glanced up and grinned when he spotted her. His chair made a scratching noise as he pushed it back. He jumped off the dais and strode toward her. The whispers began. She's bewitched him. She must have slipped him a love potion. We can't have an elfin witch for our next queen. It was happening again. Gwenor fought the urge to run away like she'd always done at Epton Palace whenever she'd overheard the ugly remarks. She clenched her fists. Don't let them know how much they hurt you. Silas stopped in front of her and bowed. As heir to the Norveshki throne, I would like to welcome Lady Gwenor back to her homeland. Gasps sounded around the room. Homeland? This isn't her home. 22 years ago, Lord Tolenko travelled to Woodwin as our official envoy. There he met an elfin princess and fathered a child with her, Lady Gwenor. Silas motioned to her. This lovely lady is both an elfin princess and a Norveshki noblewoman, and she is working tirelessly to cure the plague that has caused us so much suffering. She deserves our respect and admiration. Gwenor blinked back tears and held her head high. The king and queen were still regarding her with suspicious glares, and a flurry of whispers floated all around her as the courtiers devoured this latest morsel of juicy gossip. Silas extended a hand to her. She placed her hand in his, and he led her over to Dimitri's table. As she sat next to Annika, her friend squeezed her hand. I'm glad you came, Annika whispered. Silas took the seat across from her, next to Dimitri, and motioned for a servant to bring them food. Annika leaned close to whisper in her ear. You just rescued your cousin. I was about to jump his bones. Gwenor whispered back. If you jump his bones, I'll jump Silas's. Deal. Silas narrowed his eyes. Are you two making plans without us? Gwenor gave him a sweet smile. Now you know how it feels. The next day was Rubber Day, and when Gwenor saw the ladies all dressed in shades of red and burgundy, she was reminded of her first day at Draven Castle. A full week had passed, and she'd gone from being an outsider to being a Norveshki noblewoman. That afternoon, Gwenor and Annika were in the workroom grinding up the last of the Verna leaves when Silas came in, loaded down with two large canvas sacks. Gwenor rose to her feet. I didn't expect you back this soon. What did you bring us? Annika asked. He set the sacks on a work table and loosened the drawstring on the first bag to reveal the reddish-orange powder inside. This is the hot pepper that Luciana promised you. It came from Epton Palace. Gwenor peered inside. As powerful as the spice was, they planned to use only a few spoonfuls of each batch of tonic. This will last us a long time. Thank you. Silas opened the second bag. I was surprised to see this. he pulled out a bulbous brown root. According to King Ulfred, this is from the ginkgo plant.
You saw Rupert?
Gwenor used the name her sister Brigitte always used for her husband.
Yes. Brody made it to Turin last night and told the king and royal physician what you were doing here. The physician recommended this route, so Rupert gathered up all he could find. This morning he took this sack to a barge on the Norva River. Then he used his wind power to whoosh upstream really fast. On the way, he stopped and picked up the spice coming from Ebton Palace. So thanks to his wind power, these sacks arrived in Verushka before noon.
Annika's eyes widened.
That sounds amazing. I wish I could have seen him wielding his power.
We could have used him on the barge that took us upriver, Silas muttered. It would have been faster for me to fly, but I didn't want to try carrying two sacks.
No. You might have dropped one, Annika said.
Gwenor stiffened.
What?
She glanced at Annika and then Silas.
She knows you're a dragon?
He shrugged.
Everyone in the three cursed clans is allowed to know.
Annika nodded.
And that includes you,
Gwenor snorted.
I never thought I would be happy to belong to a cursed clan.
Annika laughed.
Gwenor smiled at Silas. Thank you for bringing this stuff to us.
He smiled back.
Any time. And it was very sweet of Rupert to get these sacks to Verushka so quickly, Gwenor added.
Silas nodded.
I think he was happy to have a reason to see his wife and son again. They were still at the camp. Brigitte stayed there?
Gwenor asked.
All your sisters are there. They're worried about you. I don't think it's safe for you to make the trip to see them, so I invited them all here. They're considering it.
Gwenor's heart filled with warmth.
I would love to show them how beautiful this country is.
Annika picked up a ginkgo root and studied it.
I don't think I've ever seen this before.
I have, Gwenor replied.
Sister Colleen used it for multiple illnesses at the convent, but mainly for curing stomach aches.
She pulled one out of the bag.
I've been concerned that the hot pepper might upset some people's stomachs, but if we include this in the tonic, I think it will offset any ill effects from the spice.
Excellent. Annika emptied the sack, making a pile of ginkgo roots.
We'll have to slice them, then grind them into a mash, Gwenor said, as she reached for a knife. Need some help?
Silas pulled a dagger from his boot.
After an hour, they had sliced and chopped the entire pile of ginkgo root. As the sun moved toward the horizon, it shone brightly through the westward-facing windows. The room became hot, so Gwenor opened the windows wider. A large bird flew past. An eagle.
Brody? She stepped aside as the bird shot through the window and flopped onto the floor.
Brody?
Gwenor dashed over to look at him. The eagle lay on its side, breathing heavily.
He must be exhausted.
I'll bring some food.
Annika rushed out the door. Silas picked up the folded stack of clothes Brody had left beside his pallet, where he'd slept in dog form.
Here, you need these?
He set the clothes beside the eagle.
I'll step outside.
Gwenor waited in the hallway till she heard Silas call her back inside. Brody was now in human form, sitting on the floor wearing a pair of breeches. He winced as he slipped on the shirt.
My arms are sore.
Silas sat on the floor beside him.
You flew all the way from Turin?
Brody collapsed back on the floor, his shirt unbuttoned.
All the way from the Isle of Mist.
The Isle of Mist? Gwenor sat next to him.
Why on Earthland did you go there?
The seer has some medical knowledge and he's...
You saw the seer? Silas asked. Brody nodded his head.
He's lived for a...
How do you know the seer? Gwenor asked.
I didn't think anyone ever saw him.
Of course people see him, Brody muttered. He gets supplies every now and then from the Isle of Moon. That's how his prophecies get spread.
Gwenor's mouth fell open. She'd lived on the Isle of Moon most of her life, and she'd never known this.
How come I never heard about that?
The sailors are sworn to secrecy. Brody sat up. Can I finish my story now? The seer has lived a really long time, almost 100 years, so I thought I would ask him what his secret is for living such a long and healthy life.
Gwenor leaned forward. What did he say?
Garlic. Brody buttoned his shirt. Lots of garlic. He recommends you include some in your tonic.
I see.
Gwenor glanced at Silas. Do you know where we can get a big supply of garlic?
I'll check into it, Silas said, then glanced at Brody.
What do you know of the seer? What is he like?
With an exhausted sigh, Brody fell back onto the floor.
He has bad breath.
Chapter 29. Over the next 2 days, Silas helped Gwen as much as he could. He was worried about her safety, but with all the errands he had to do, he wasn't able to stay by her side. He took some relief in the knowledge that Brody was spending most of his time as her guard dog. On the first day, Sapphire Day, Silas located a supply of garlic and brought it to Draven Castle. He enlisted a few servants to help peel and chop all the garlic. Unfortunately, the kitchen staff was already swamped with work, preparing for the grand feast that would signal the opening of the summoning. His next mission was to collect bottles and clay jars so they could store and distribute the tonic Gwen was making. So that afternoon, he flew to the army camp, shifted, and dressed. Then rode into Varushka with Alexei and a troop of soldiers. There, they bought all the small containers they could find. Then they transported them by barge and wagon back to Draven Castle, arriving late that night. He was glad to have the troop of soldiers with him. The summoning would begin soon, and that meant a great deal of visitors would be arriving. Gwen's would-be captor, or even the chameleon, might use the event to sneak into the castle. As busy as Silas was, he was only able to see Gwen a few minutes at a time. She was equally busy, and he worried that she was working herself too hard. But she was determined to have the first batch of tonic ready to hand out at the summoning, when so many of the Norveshki people would be gathered together. Gwen convinced them that they should promote the medicine as a fertility tonic. That way more people would be willing to take it. By the second day, Amatha Day, Gwen and her friends were bottling the tonic. Silas was busy seeing to the security of the castle as the crowds of people started to arrive. Nobles were given rooms in the castle, while commoners either found rooms in the inns in Dreshka or pitched tents along the river. Preparations for the summoning began in earnest. At dawn, the kitchen began roasting huge slabs of meat for the opening feast. Servants constructed a dais at the northern side of the courtyard and set 2 jewel-encrusted thrones on top. Benches were placed in rows to fill the rest of the courtyard with a wide aisle down the middle, leading from the dais to the southern gate. More servants set up a long line of tables in the great hall. These were covered with red velvet tablecloths. The feast would take up every inch of the tables. Nobles would be allowed to go down the buffet table first. Then they would eat at the other tables in the great hall. After the commoners had their turn, they would eat while sitting on the benches in the courtyard. As more and more people waited for the feast to begin, the nobles gathered in the courtyard, while the commoners waited outside the southern gate. Silas preferred to watch everyone from the roof of the castle,
He was able to walk along all four wings of the castle, observing everything that was happening, both outside the castle and in the courtyard. As the sun set, horns blared to signal the beginning of the